Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ray will be a great number nine because Ray just like stands in the box, just stand it like six yard box, never leaves it, just there, waiting, about to pounce. Oh, he's not going to take a corner, is he? No, he's going back.
I wouldn't say.
You started the football analogies.
This week on Walking the Dog, Raymond and I pop to Southwest London to take a stroll with England hero, Golden Boot winner and much-loved Match of the Day host, Mr. Gary Lineker, and his adorable new dog, Filbert. Last time Gary appeared, we met his beautiful Labrador, Snoop, who since then he sadly lost, so he told me all about bringing Filbert into his life, which was definitely the right decision, because Gary Lineker and Filbert are the dream team. It's basically like watching him with Peter Beardsley all over again. We had the loveliest walk because Gary's just a very easy person to get along with. He's incredibly gentle and self-effacing and really level-headed. Nothing seems to faze him, even the size of Filbert's poos. And I have to say, they're quite a lot to unpack. Also, I should say, Gary's just written a book with Ivor Badil. Yes, brother of David, those boys get about. Called 50 Times Football Changed the World. And it's full of really brilliant football anecdotes. So do get involved. I'll stop talking now so you can listen to the man himself. Here's Gary and Filbert and Raymond. See you. Right, Gary, have you got everything?
Yeah. I've got a dog. I've got some treats in my pocket. Oh, magic word. Oh, what are that? Oh, chicken and Hyde twisters. He'll like those. He already does.
Well, Phil like these?
Phil likes everything.
Oh, Phil.
Thank you, Filbert.
Are you going to take a lead for Phil?
Yes.
Oh.
You don't need to, though.
Well, I do.
I do, because he'll bolt if he sees a squirrel on the road.
What I was going to ask is, you haven't got a spare lead, have you?
Oof. He eats them, so I go through them quite quick. Does Ray need a lead?
Well, no.
It'll be fine. I'll take him off the lead as soon as we get out, anyway.
I'll just carry
Ray. I'm only doing it because they're near the road, because if he sees something, he will go.
Okay.
So.
I know the feeling, Gary.
Yeah, as will I.
Right, Gary, we've got the two dogs. I think are you bringing sunglasses? It's quite sunny.
Why, the paps outside? No. I'm wearing my normal glasses.
Come on, then. Let's go, boys.
Come on.
Come on, Phil. Come on, Ray.
Want to go?
Yeah, of course you do.
Come with Uncle Gary.
Hey, Philbert. We're going for a walk. Another one. Right, where is she? There you go.
Oh, they look really happy.
Yeah, he tends to chew through leads.
Does he?
He just likes chewing. It's better than furniture.
Come on, Phil.
Right. Let's go. Hang on. You wait. Wait. Okay. Orders.
Come on.
Come on, Ray. Come on, let's be having you.
Ray. Stay, Ray. Right, follow Gary and Phil.
This way.
Follow Gary. Go on. Gary, it's going to be around this pace for Ray.
Well, that's my pace now, so that's good. That suits me. He's pacey. Hey, come on. Here.
Where is Phil?
Take off. Here you go.
He gives it a bit of welly, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's got some trick. Hey, hey. He's too excited.
Come on, Phil.
Yeah, I'll take it. There you go.
Oh, Gary's let his lead off.
He's off. He's fine off the lead. He can't be on his own, so he's not going to disappear.
Do you know, he's got a lovely, elegant walk, Phil.
Has he? Like his dad. I bet he's peeing. That's quite elegant too, look.
He's
just started cocking his leg the last few weeks. I didn't know whether he knew what he was before.
Look, what do you think of Ray's? Oh, he's doing a poo.
Is he? Good old Ray. get the poo out early. He's gone for the early poo.
Well, that's always been your approach, hasn't it?
Touché.
For anyone who doesn't realise, Google Gary Lineker.
It is quite big poos for a tiny dog.
And poos. Yes,
he
does. Here
yes.
he goes.
Mine wasn't that solid, sadly.
So, I'm just going to say who I'm with in case, for heaven's sake, you hadn't realised. One of the most recognisable faces, voices, and soon to be dogs in the country. Because he's quite a legend, this dog. What the hell is he eating, Gary?
Grass. Just grass.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I love that you still say grass.
Well, come on. I do tend to slip occasionally now. And I really hate myself when I do it. If I say bath or grass, and it does come, and I go, oh, don't forget your roots. But all my boys, they all speak with that southern bath and grass from Sandra.
Do they?
Yeah. It's where they grew up.
Come on, Ray.
Filbert. See how obedient he is? Look.
He really is.
He'll come back, don't worry. Come on.
Yay,
there
Bill.
You go. He's very good at coming back. Sit.
Who's he going to come to? Oh, he chose me.
Well, your arms were out. Sit.
He chose him.
Paw. Other paw.
Gary Lineker is so competitive that he couldn't even face the fact that his dog chose me. I'm just saying, your dog ran to me.
You must have had a bigger treat.
So, let me formally introduce this man. I'm with the very wonderful, this is his second appearance on this podcast.
Am I the first person to have two appearances? Am
no.
I? No. Oh, I wouldn't have agreed then if I'd known that. I just thought that would be special.
That's how you end up getting the golden boot, ladies and gentlemen, with that kind of attitude.
Selfish.
It's true. I'm with the very wonderful Gary Winston Lineker and he's here because I wanted him to introduce us to his beautiful new dog, Filbert.
Filbert.
And because last time you were on, Gary, we should say,
yeah.
I don't want to make you cry within the first five minutes, but you
will, though.
You came on with your lovely Snoop.
Snoop, yeah.
Who you lost, didn't you?
Yeah, he died kind of just not too long before the first lockdown. So about, what is it now, 2.5, 3 years ago. And it was horrible. It was devastating. And he seemed fine. He's about 11. And Harry, one of my sons, was staying with me. And he knocked on my door early in the morning before he went to work, saying, Dad, Dad. And he'd never knock on my door. And I said, what? He said, something wrong with Snoop. I went down and there was blood and there was, you know, he'd messed himself and he was in a bit of a pickle. So we took him to the vet and it was a Tuesday, it was a Champions League night. And when I was doing it with BT and I took him to the vet, they said, we'll do some tests and we'll give you a call. So they called me and they said, well, there's clearly some internal bleeding and this. And they said, you know, we could open him up and see if it's not too bad, we can perhaps take his spleen out, we perhaps get another year or so, but if it's really bad, then obviously it'd be, you know. So I said, well, what would you do if it was your dog? Mm. And she said, well, if I could afford it, I'd do the operation and see what's there. So I said, well, do that. And then I was about to, they couldn't do it till the afternoon, and then I was just about to go into makeup for a BT for the we're about 6:30, we're on air at 7. And I got the call, and the call was bad news. They couldn't do anything, and they said, we've got to let him go. Do you want to be here? I said, I'm about to go on TV. I've got a show, I couldn't get there before midnight. I said, well, we're 24 hours, if you can come then, perhaps if anyone, your sons want to come. And so I was sat in makeup and I was crying my eyes out, and Sally has always done my makeup. She's going, oh no. And I went on TV and it was like really, really hard to keep you know, the tears from going without, nobody would have known what was going on, but it was, it's horrible. But then I went and I was with him when he passed,
which was
really.
How did you do that show? You must have.
It was horrible. It was really difficult. You just go into some kind of
doctor theatre
mode or whatever it is, and it was fine. I mean, it wasn't fine, but it was when I got there. It was actually quite calming seeing him go in the way, because he went comfortably and calmly. I don't know whether you've ever witnessed that, but
did you hold his paw?
I did. Oh. I held him, and it was, but it really beat me up. I mean, I was really, I mean, I felt a little bit sort of guilty because I'd lost my two parents as well in recent years, just before the dog, and I felt a little bit guilty that I was felt more beaten up by the dog than my parents. Now I love my parents, but when you think about it though, the dog's there with you every minute of every day that you're there, so it's very different. Oh, we found some friends to play with.
Hello.
That's a lovely Labrador. Hello. Right, Ray, come here please. Gary, can you call Ray?
Ray!
Let's see who he comes to, Gary. You try and I'll try.
I don't think he looks like he wants to move. Is he asleep?
Why doesn't he move, Gary?
Well, that was a good distraction there. It stopped me getting all welled up again. And at the time, I thought, I can't do this again. I can't. I mean, I'd had dogs before previously, but not... But this, I don't know. It was just really hard. And I was really bad, and I was crying again the next morning. And my personal trainer, he's trained me for 20-odd years. He's always had dogs.
Mm.
He has a dog, 10, 12, whatever years he gets, then he gets another dog almost immediately. And I saw him there, I said, how can you do that? And he went, well, hang on a minute, he said, if in a relationship in life, whether it's, you know, whether it's with a woman or a man or whatever, if you could guarantee 12 years of unconditional love, that every time you came through the door, whether you've been out for 2 minutes, 2 hours, 2 weeks or 2 months, they'd treat you like you're the greatest thing in the history of the world. Would you take that? And I went, yeah, probably would. So it took me a while, though. I'd just started thinking about getting another dog, and then...
Let's go this
then
way.
Then I met Philbert.
I really think that's something that's very common, just that real depth of feeling, because not even a partner sees the stuff a dog sees. Do you know what I mean?
No, that's true.
Ray sees every emotion.
And also
emotion.
They're entirely dependent on you.
Yeah.
I mean, they really are, so.
Yeah.
Even though he's a dog that was found on the streets.
So talk me through, tell us about how Phil came into your life.
It's a bit of a long story. I just started thinking maybe it's time I had another dog. You know, my boys, they're all old enough to help a little bit, because obviously I do travel. They're all in their 20s, well, George is in his 30s now, but. You know, you have to think, because it's a commitment, a dog. So I'd started thinking about it a little bit, but not overly. And then I went to LA on holiday, as I go a couple of times a year. Mm. I've got a lot of friends there, and Danielle, my ex, is there, and a few people. So I arrived there, and the first night, and I stay in this hotel where there's a nice little rooftop vibe. And two of my friends came, Reese and Reggie, for a drink. And Reggie had Philbert with him. He wasn't called Philbert then. Funny enough, I came up with that name.
Yeah, funny
that. A surprise. So he came in with him, and he was like jumping all over me, and I just thought it was me, but he actually does that to everyone. And I said, I love your dog, Reggie, he's great. And he went, well, it's not actually my dog. He said, my dog's at home. He said, but I also foster dogs. He says, I foster, you know, the rescue dogs, and I foster them until they find a permanent home. Anyway, about 4 Negronis later, I'll have him. And that's how it happened. So, Reggie said, right, okay, I'll ask you again in the morning. And he did. They'd never had the particular dog charity where he came from, hadn't let one go abroad before. But they were really, really helpful. Then, it's a bit mad, but it's just kind of a moment. He came up every night to the hotel, and he became my kind of buddy on the trip, really. And then there's got a bit of paperwork to go through, and you have to be neutered if you're going to be adopted in America, and so you had to rabies jabs and all this. But I was also, you know, a little bit worried. Well, he'd be all right in the plane, and I don't know what it's like. And then I got it talked through, and it's actually, I didn't realise that there's kind of a pet thing behind the luggage, and where it's got the same conditions as it is in the cabin, the same kind of lighting and all that sort of stuff. But he seemed all right, full of beans. Then I met him at Heathrow, and he came running up and jumped all over me.
That must have been like a Richard Curtis movie.
It was
except it was a dog.
Except it was a dog, which is much better, probably. Dog, actually. Yeah, we've got it.
So he looks, is he sort of part Alsatian,
well,
do you think?
Well, he was found on the streets. I don't know that much about his past. Don't know exactly how old he is, but he's still a pup, clearly. We think around one now, somewhere around one. And or just coming up to it. But he was found on the streets in LA with his sister. And his sister had already been adopted when I met Filbert. But subsequently, through Reggie, who fostered him in the first place, they did the DNA thing. Test. So, which was interesting. Came back something like just over 50% Husky. I think it was 30-odd% Aussie Shepherd or cattle dog. And
hello.
A bit of Border Collie and a bit of German Shepherd. It's kind of what we expected, but it was nice to know.
He's got those beautiful husky eyes, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got the husky eyes.
Very unusual to have dogs with blue eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, but I get stuck with him all the time. People go, eyes, the dog. His eyes.
Here's a question. Hey. Do you quite like that, Gary? Because in a way, that pulls a bit of focus off you. I think that's quite nice.
Well, actually, I get a bit jealous. I just get more attention than me. I mean, I don't know if that's right. No, it's good.
I would have thought it might be quite nice, though. That
no, it is. It's nice.
I quite like with Ray that people are so obsessed by him.
Yeah.
They sort of go, oh, my God, he's amazing.
They put up with you.
Phil!
He'll come. He'll find us.
Oh, do you think he will?
Well, I know he will because he can't be on his own.
Can he not?
No, that's the only downside I've got. He gets terrible separation anxiety. Philbert, this way! Sorry, I just shouted in your ears. There he is.
Come on, Filbert. And he's called Filbert.
After Filbert Street, of course, which was Leicester's ground for well over 100 years. It's where I started to watch football, professional football. It's where I played my first 8 years. It's also the name of Leicester's mascot, Filbert the Fox. It's also a type of nuts, which I'm sure you know, a little bit like it's part of the hazelnut family, which is very similar colouring to Filbert as well. So, and that's where after a lot of to-ing and fro-ing with names and my boys, that's what we went with.
So he's bad, you were saying? He's quite clingy.
Yeah, it's not so much the clinginess. He's getting better on that. But being left on his own, he gets into a terrible state. Starts panting immediately. You know, even if I just shut the door behind him, within seconds he'll start at the door and he gets in a mess. And then but I've kind of worked that out early on. But, you know, a bit of damage to various doors, etc. But we had one mix-up because I kind of try and make sure that someone's around if I possibly can. I mean, obviously you've got to leave a dog occasionally on his own, but it's not nice because it's obviously a stressful experience for him. So I'm trying not to. So I've got enough sons that we have kind of a rotation thing, but we did have a mix-up about.
I love I've got enough sons. You sound like someone out of the Bible. I have enough sons.
So it was about, I don't know, a couple of months ago. I was in Ibiza, actually. So, and Danielle was over my ex, and she was staying at mine. So she was actually watching him. But she told me she had to be out this afternoon, one afternoon. And then so I texted the boys' group chat saying, "Film it, this way. About 11 o'clock at night, and I texted the boys. I said, can any of you watch the dog tomorrow afternoon, because Danielle's not around? Then I went to sleep, and then I woke up the next morning, and George had said, I can do it. It went great. So about 7 o'clock that evening, I called George, I went, everything okay with Philbs? And he went, fuck. I went, what do you mean, fuck? Sorry, I shouldn't swear. But it was a fuck moment.
You're allowed to swear, Gary.
And I went, what? He went, I thought you meant tomorrow. Because he'd woken up saying, can you do it tomorrow? In the morning after that, I'd sent the text. So it was just a genuine, you know, one of those misunderstandings. He said, I can be there in 10 minutes. I'll go now and he dished round.
So how long had Phil been on his own?
About 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours. Oh. Five sets of curtains. five sets. One in the front room, two in the bedroom, one in the main room downstairs and one in the guest bedroom. Yeah, so that was...
I tried to give you some advice last time I saw you. What did I tell you would be a good thing to do?
Yes.
If you put on Match of the Day, Gary, then he can hear your voice and feel reassured. Have you tried that?
Well, I have, but I'm worried he might not like the show. Or he might like Alan Shearer more than me or something. That'd be really... Can you imagine that? It'd be awful. Actually, Alan's met him anyway.
So has he? What did Alan Shearer think
Alan
of
loves
him?
Dogs. Yeah, so he's got... He lost his dog not long ago.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a brutal experience.
It really is. Well, I'm so thrilled that you came into each other's lives.
No,
you
he's
and
great.
Phil.
He's great. I mean, it's, you know, getting him looked after and make sure. But he's getting a little bit better. You know, he's getting more secure and he's, you know, he'll can be distanced a little bit in the house now. And I've had a dog behaviourist help me. I mean, basically they teach you to help them, don't they? So.
But don't you think you end up with the dog that's the right fit for you?
I think so.
He's very you, Phil.
Is he?
Is he? Because...
He's got big ears, pointy.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Here's why I think he's very you.
Yeah.
Because I think people would look at his breed and get him wrong.
Well, he's not. He's a rescue, isn't he? He's a mixed bag.
He's
from
so
off the
gentle.
Street.
But you're gentle, and you're quite calm, don't you think?
Well, yeah. He is calm dog. He is a very calm. I mean, I've only ever seen him. Every now and again, he'll snap at another dog for some reason. They are animals, but he's very quiet. Oh. Ray's gets all the leaves stuck.
He's like a dustbuster. He's like a Henry Hoover.
He's a sweeper.
He's a sweeper, Gary. There you go.
No, I don't like sweepers. I used to hate playing against sweepers. You think you've beaten the line, and then there's some guy 20, 30 yards behind you. It's really annoying me. That's football speak, by the way, Emily. But I know you know football, because you've done TV shows about football. Film it!
You complimented me on my football knowledge.
Yeah,
last
you're
time.
Very impressive.
I'll tell you what happened, because... We mentioned your ex-partner, Danielle, your ex-wife, Danielle, and she's obviously a friend of mine, so that's why you're kind of stuck with me, unfortunately.
Not at all.
But I love that you two are still friends. I think it's so kind of really touching,
actually. Yeah, it is. No, we're genuinely close friends, and we speak most days, we text a lot. And
how do you think you managed it?
Well, it was only really about children that it wasn't a fallout or anything like that. It was just a sudden change in her body clock ticking and sudden urge to have children. And ultimately, we'd kind of agreed that that wasn't going to be a thing, and then it was a thing, and then I said, it's fine, but she didn't want me to ultimately do something I hadn't really planned, and I didn't want to stop her from realising things. So we just made a grown-up decision and just be mates.
Although, what about last time we saw her, Gary, Danielle was saying, oh, I know about football.
No, she really doesn't know anything about football.
Gary decided
which is probably a good thing.
Gary decided to test her and said, name three current Liverpool players. And I got a little worried when her first offering was Jürgen Klinsmann.
It was as well, wasn't it? She got half a name right.
And Gary said, I wouldn't mind, but he was sitting on the sofa last week. Yeah, he came round.
He did.
Come on, Phil.
Oh, well, I think a second effort was Ian Rush, was it? Philip, this way. Oh, he's seen a bird. Oh, it's a squirrel.
Come on.
He goes nuts for squirrels. It's up the tree. You'll never get up a tree.
I should tell everyone where we are as well. We're in southwest London.
Yeah. In the common. Common land. Good boy. Good boy. See what you get when you come back. Yeah.
Hey, what about Ray? Does he get a tree?
Yeah, Ray gets a tree. Do you want a tree, Ray? There's Ray.
Gary, let's take a picture of them together.
It's not for you. It's Ray's tree. Do you want it? Ray doesn't seem keen to take a tree. Would you take it off for you?
No, do you know what it is?
Yeah.
Come on. Well, can you pose, please, Gary? Sit down. Yeah. I'll tell you what it is.
This way.
Yeah, we need to see your beautiful eyes.
Not your arse, okay? Come on. There you go.
Oh, we've got one.
Sorry, we've got one. We'll get some more. I'll get some more.
We'll get some more.
Come on. Yeah, I know what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I think you seem quite... You're quite good at handling fame, I think.
I hope so by now.
Some people aren't, though.
Well, it's the pros and cons. I always try and think of the advantages rather than the disadvantages. And there are more advantages than disadvantages, no question about that. But
do you think there are more advantages to being famous?
Yes, I think so. People are really nice to you, mostly. Vast majority of people, you know, is really kind, warm. You can, you know, opens doors for you, get a lovely lifestyle. And there's a lot of good things. You know, yes, there's a bit of intense media coverage sometimes that you could do without, particularly when it involves your personal life and stuff like that. But you know, it's not. You know, you don't choose. Certainly, as a footballer, you don't choose to be a celebrity or a famous person. You just want to play football and be really good at it, and then the other thing comes with it. So you really have to decide and try and learn to live with it. And
but Gary, you don't choose, and I think possibly that's why you're able to handle it, because you were never invested in it. Do you know what I mean? That was never your aim, was it?
My aim was to be good at football and play football, and then the rest of it comes along. If you're really successful, it comes alongside it. So, but it's not like it's, I think what helped me deal with it was it was really pretty gradual for me.
You see, here's a quote I want to share with you, which I think you'll like. It's by F. Scott Fitzgerald, and he said, sign of a good parenting, the child has no desire to be famous.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't have any desire to be famous. And I would say none of your kids really do either. They're all just doing their own thing.
They really don't.
So what I'm saying is, some good parenting going on in the Lineker.
I'm glad you think so. Thank you, Scott Fitzgerald. Was he right winger or did he play inside forward? What I was going to say was, I think in terms of dealing with fame, is that it was gradual with me. It wasn't an overnight thing, because I wasn't a boy wonder. I wasn't like Michael Owen or Wayne Rooney or any of these. I broke into Leicester's first team around 21, and then it was, you know, gradually started to make my name, got into the England team when I was about 24, 25. And then everything really, you know, started when I went to Everton, I started scoring a lot of goals, and then obviously the World Cup thing, and then it really did change. But I think I was mature enough by then to deal with it. So I've been able to handle it. And also I've got a kind of calm nature. I don't get down when things are not going well, and I don't get too excited when they're going really well. unless I'm watching something exciting, then I can get excited. But you know what I mean. So I
think
it's my temperament that helps, which my temperament was, for me, the most important thing in my success on the football pitch.
Was it?
I think so. I wasn't the most naturally gifted footballer in the world, but I was. I could deal with pressure, and I liked it. And I was quick. And I worked out how to score goals. So I think it wasn't about natural talent. That's why I didn't emerge quickly as a 16, 17 year old like others.
Do you think that football, you work to become a footballer, or can a good footballer be made by hard work?
Not without talent, no.
Right.
I don't buy that 10,000 hours. I mean, you could have 10,000 years with someone who hasn't got any talent, and they'll never be good enough. But talent's not enough. You've got to have the 10,000 hours alongside the talent, especially in a sport like football, which is so global and so competitive, and so many kids want to be footballers. And, you know, boys and girls now, which is great. So you've got to have both. And even that's not enough. You've also got to be able to deal with the pressure and that sort of thing that comes with it. So there are so many things that have got come together to make a top player. One thing is not enough. Talent's not enough. Attitude's not enough. Working hard's not enough. Being really strong mentally is not enough. But if you put all four together, then you've got a chance. Hello.
Hello,
hello. I'll let him off. He'll want to play. Come on.
Come on, you.
Right, this way then.
Bye-bye.
Nice, see you later. Bye-bye.
Here's the thing though, Gary, because often when I have people on this podcast, people who perform at various high levels in various different industries, you often find sports people say, oh, well, I can do that. You know, I can take a penalty, but I could never stand on a stage. I could never, you know. And yet you are one of, and equally.
I couldn't stand on a stage. Either.
No, but
not
equally, you have. You have stood on stages, and this is what I find interesting.
Only as me. I walked on a stage and actually try and remember lines and all that. Oh.
Yes, but I'm saying, would you say you were a natural, for example, at TV when you started?
No.
No,
no, no, no, no, no. No.
What were you like when you started?
Nervous, wooden. This way, film it. Obviously. I mean, there's no practice for television.
Well, you have to learn to be yourself, don't you?
Well, that's exactly what it is. And I think I wasn't quite bad enough for them to get rid of me. But obviously, I got the opportunity because I scored a few goals for England. And I worked really hard at it, and I had, you know, training and this. I started actually presenting. I'd done punditry. That's totally different. That's just you being you and giving your opinions. But presenting's a different thing. There's so many things you've got to deal with, and you can't set up a fake. Well, you can, but it costs too much money. Then never do it. It was kind of in at the deep end. And mine at the deep end was I did the highlight shows for Euro 96.
Mm.
My second show was England-Scotland's highlights. 11 million viewers. Not that I knew that. I wasn't counting them. And it was hard. It was really hard. You know, and it was because you've got to go, to camera, and then you've got to do the right questions, and then you've got to hit a count and all this sort of stuff. I'd done a bit of radio, which helped. I think that's the best training you can get if anyone ever, you know, has ambitions to go into television, is try and start with, you know, radio, local radio, hospital radio, that kind of thing. But it wasn't quite bad enough for them to dump me, and then I kind of did work hard at it, and I remember going to voice training for the radio with Trevor Brooking. We went for an hour a week with this I can't remember her name, a former newsreader, and she just killed us every time. She got, you've got to have more enthusiasm in your voice, you've got to have light and shade, you've got to hit these words and not those words. And then I go in and I'm just standing there and I'm thinking, like, I was giving it like this and that, and I'd come out and she'd go in, you're just still so flat. I said, well, that's my... I went, I'm not. I was really shouting. He went, come and listen. And then I'd listen. I'd go, oh, God, no, it is so dull, that voice. And she, that was invaluable, though. I was so much better at the end of it in terms of, you know, injecting a bit of life into my voice. So I worked at it. But then you're right. In a couple of years in, I started to do Football Focus every week. And there were lots of times I drove home from Football Focus and I thought, I'm never going to be able to do this. But then I did get used to the environment and how it worked. And then you become yourself and then people decide whether they like you or not. Obviously, I know the football side of it. I know it really well. It's just a question of whether people connect with you at home.
And do you, for those big occasions, obviously, do you get more nervous on those occasions?
I don't get nervous at all. First couple of shows, I felt that a little bit nervous, but no, I don't do that nervous thing. I can get, you know, I get adrenaline rush. And I know when it's a big thing, but I just love that. It's more exciting. It's like when I play football. The big games were easy because you didn't have to motivate yourself. Pre-season friendlies and stuff like that, it's like, oh, come on, get yourself going a bit. And it was quite hard. So that was the difference. But TV, no. And also, if you've played big-time football... If you've played in World Cups and been involved in penalty shootouts...
No, I haven't played in World Cups.
Have you not yet? Have you not? Your time will come. It may come. But what I'm saying is, if you mess up on a football pitch, that really affects people's moods. And if, you know, it can affect you... You know, say you miss a penalty in a penalty shootout or you miss a big chance for England or something, then that people get really angry about that and down. But if you fluff your lines on TV... No one cares but yourself.
I know this is very different, but it's a bit like when you experience any sort of grief or something massive. Mm. It's sort of the worst pressure you can have. In terms of high pressure, representing your country for a penalty shootout.
Yep.
In terms of adrenaline and what's the worst that could happen. So, as you say, presumably getting something wrong on the auto cue feels like nothing compared to that.
Exactly. It still irritates me if I make a mistake, if I get a fact wrong or a fluff of words or something, which happens to everyone on occasions. It's still irritating to yourself, but it's not going to affect anyone else's life. So, you know, whereas football, even if it's only for a few days or weeks, you do really affect people's mood.
Yeah, look, he's found a friend.
Found another friend.
Phil's found a friend. Oh, how lovely. What's your dog called?
Buzzy.
What's it called?
Buzzy.
Buzzy.
Good name. He's very buzzy, isn't he? Yeah. He's very buzzy.
What sort of dog is it? A spaniel?
Cocker spaniel.
Cute. He looks like a pure cocker, not a... You're going to see a lot of cockapoos, but not
There. Yeah, he's definitely a spaniel.
Sorry, these dogs are so well suited.
What's yours? What breed?
It's my friend's dog, actually.
He's a rescue, actually. He's half husky, half Aussie shepherd. He likes to play. Ray just likes to spot things and watch from afar, doesn't he? He's not one for joining into the histrionics and the playfulness of these.
He's got a lot of dignity.
He is very. That's what I mean. He's more dignified.
You don't find him doing that.
Yeah, I think he's actually more like, he's more of a presenter, and those two are like Shearer and Micah Richards. Those two playing around. Don't you think?
I think he's a class act.
I agree.
He's like Wenger's Invincibles.
He's like.
This is like
dog,
the crazy gang.
Your dog is like Wenger's Invincibles.
Yeah, classy. He's Thierry Henry.
First thing I thought when he came in. First thing I thought.
Don't you think he's got...
Ray Parler.
He is. So yeah. Phil is playing with Buzzy.
Yes.
A lovely cocker spaniel. And how old is your cocker spaniel?
He's about two.
He loves jumping. Look, he's jumping over him.
They're really getting along.
How old's Phil?
Phil is about coming up to one, I think. He was... Phil, the whole world's going to call my dog Phil because of you. I think they've had it. Onward. Go on, Philbert.
Bye-bye, nice to meet you.
Bye. Good boy.
Oh, what were we saying for that? Yeah, I find that interesting that that you don't... But you're so calm, though, Gary.
Yeah, that, I think that's my temperament. That's not something I've had to work at.
Do you know what? It's quite a superpower.
Or dull, whichever way you look at it.
It's quite a superpower, though, isn't it?
I never thought of it like that, but I'm glad I am like that, because I feel fortunate. I don't suffer from mental health issues or, you know, ups and downs, and I'm quite happy this way.
Yeah, you're not a sunshine and showers person.
No, although I did get upset when Snoop went and stuff like that. Of course we get upset, but yeah, no, I'm relatively bland, maybe.
What's interesting is that I don't think you've got a typical number 9 or number 10 in your case, I know.
Well, yeah.
Sort of.
I was a 9 but played 10.
I know you did.
Yeah, you know.
You wouldn't wear that 9 shirt.
Or 8.
Paid him, yeah. And they did.
They did. I never scored. I didn't.
You played at Everton a bit, maybe? No.
8 at Everton.
Yeah.
8 at Leicester. I didn't start wearing 10 except for England.
Yeah, but you were always 10 for England, weren't you?
10 for England, yeah.
But here's the thing. You don't have a typical number 9 energy or number 10 energy.
What is a typical number 9, 10 energy?
I would say Ronaldo, even though ironically, I know he wasn't wearing, yeah. You know, he's been a winger. If you told me, think of someone in that
you
role.
You mean someone you think like driven to score and like Ronaldo lived for it. And I was exactly that.
No.
I'm telling you that.
I'm saying you are more moderate and controlled. And I don't see you as the kind of person that's, I suppose, a bit look at me, a bit more. And that's no criticism of those people in that role, in that position.
Well, they're bigger superstars than I ever were. Ronaldo, everyone's going to look at
Gary,
Ronaldo.
Come
and he's
on.
And Ronaldo's Cristiano, and he's a big, you know, he loves, like, you know, he's got a poo.
Oh, has he done
a
poo?
He's done a Lineker. He's done it on the grass.
What
grass.
Is it?
See how I slip up sometimes. Now I've got to find it.
What is it about you Lineker boys and your poos on the grass?
Don't tread on it. Where is it? I can smell it now. I'm getting close. But imagine not picking up a poo on a pod.
But
pick up a poo on a pod.
The great thing is no one will know.
Yeah, but that's... I mean, I'd like to pick them up. I don't. Not. Not.
I mean, I was going to say we'll talk about that.
I don't think he did. I think it was just a wee.
Phil. Oh, Phil, you're so beautiful, aren't you?
Ray would be a great number 9, because Ray just like stands in the box, just stands it like 6-yard box, never leaves it, just there, waiting, about to pounce. Oh, he's going. He's not going to take a corner, is he? No, he's going back.
I wouldn't say...
You started the football analogies.
I wouldn't say he's a fan of pressing.
No, who is?
Well, you certainly are.
I did a bit of that.
Who's going to win the league?
City. Manchester City, not Leicester City.
How do you think my team will do?
Arsenal?
Mm.
I think they'll do right. I think they'll be top 4. I think Arteta's onto something. I think they've got a really good group of young players that are really exciting. I think they're making progress.
Gary, this is the cutest thing I've ever seen. Oh my god, we have to picture this. It's the cutest picture. So, oh my god.
With our shadows.
Oh Gary, look at this, how cute. Oh my god, I'm obsessed by them.
Two dogs walking together.
No, but look, oh Gary, come on, it's the cutest.
It's so cute, it is very cute. I'm very proud of him, he's been very good with Ray. He likes Ray.
He's really gentle,
very
isn't he?
Ray, yeah. You've been very good.
Gary?
Yeah?
I want to just find out what's happening next in Lineker world.
Yeah. You... A lot of podcasts.
Yeah, you're doing that. Well, you've got... Have you got your
podcast
match...
business.
Yeah, you like...
It's doing really well.
You're liking your podcast now.
I've got a book coming out.
Oh!
With Ivor Badil, who I'm sure you know, and called 50 Times Football Changed the World. Which is aimed at a younger audience, children. So hopefully that'll do well.
And what is that?
And
is
more
that...
football. obviously lots.
Is that just a, and is that a sort of compendium of, it's just like your memories or just standout moments kind of thing?
It's kind of standout moments in the history of the game. You know, it's, lots of great stories in there. So, I think it will be very popular.
There's nothing you can't do, Lineker.
There are lots of things I can't do.
Go on then. I want to wrap this up with three things Lineker can't
three.
Do.
Three? Only three? God, Ray, that's a sprint. That is a sprint from Ray there, wasn't it?
Look at him. Do you like Gary?
Yeah. Ooh, hoo, hoo, hoo. Sure does. Three things I can't do. Dance. Useless. Sing.
Sorry.
Useless. Draw. Paint. Useless. I could go on.
Would you ever do Strictly Come Dancing?
Handyman stuff. Useless.
I like handyman.
Would I ever do Strictly? No.
Would you not?
No, I'd spend the entire 3 months searching for my comfort zone.
You'd be like that joke contestant.
Oh, it'd be terrible, honestly.
Would you do something like Love Island?
No. What do you think? It's a bit late for me. I think that train's left the station.
Imagine if you came on in your Leicester shorts. Oh, hi, girls. My name's Gary.
Oh, no. Love Island. No, or the jungle, or any of those things. If you ever see me on something like that, you'll know things have gone terribly wrong.
You seem very happy and content at this. No, I think you are, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I am. I'm happy. I've been very lucky in life.
And Phil?
Phil's happy.
Of course he's happy.
He's enjoyed
his
walk.
We're talking about lucking out.
From the streets.
Right, come on, Gary, let's go in. Can we have a quick cup of tea, please? Before I go.
Yeah. Have some cottage pie if you want.
Come on, Ray, we're going to
have
cottage...
Come on, Ray. Can he do these steps? Are they a bit... Is that like a mini mountain for him, isn't it? It's like the Himalayas if he gets up. Five steps. Come on, Ray. Let's do this.
You can do it.
I think he enjoyed that chat.
Do you think so?
Look, he's saying that was really good. Yeah, you see?
What, your inspirational team talk?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, I know what I want to ask you.
Is it proper
before
culture?
We finish, we're going in now. But I've got to ask you, with them, because I never spoke to you about those penalties. What would you have said? You know, like Bukayo Saka, and then what would you say to someone if they miss a penalty like that?
After they've missed it.
Yeah. What nothing. Would make them feel better?
Nothing. No, you can't. What can you say?
Yeah.
Oh, well, bad luck, mate. You should have been on the other side. I've lived that experience with Stuart Pearce and Chris Waddle. No.
What did you say?
You put an arm around their shoulder and you say nothing. Because there's nothing that can make that situation any better. Ray agrees.
That was actually
Phil. Was that Philbert? Did she just bark? That's very new.
I should say, before we end the podcast, I want to clarify, Gary's dog is called... Because he'll get cross if I don't.
Philbert.
I keep calling him Phil... But he's actually called Philbert.
Yeah.
Right, have you had a lovely time? Gary, will you
there
call
you
Ray? Come on.
Ray's hiding behind the stairs. He's still on that 6-yard box. I like that.
You're in your football.
I really hope you enjoyed listening to that. And do remember to rate, review and subscribe on iTunes.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.